Good afternoon, brethren. Good to be here with you. And wasn't that beautiful? The piano and the group together. We appreciate those who have that gift from God to inspire us all with special music. It's a wonderful blessing. It's good to see you all, you faithful brethren. And thank God for your elders and other leaders who've been willing to stand firm with United for what it's all about. We're very, very grateful and thankful for Ray Wright and Fred Whitlark and Don Hooser is here and Clyde Hubbard. I think Clyde's probably still here, isn't he? Is he? Or did they leave? They went back. We had dinner with them last night. And for all of you who are supporting these men as we move forward from here. This is a very difficult time, as you all know. Words can't really express how it's affecting us all, but I will talk a little bit about some of the issues just at the introduction, but then my sermon is really going to be about where we go from here and how we move on and what we'll be doing from here. And then we'll have the Q&A after where I can answer questions honestly and openly, and give you my perspective as president, having been at Cincinnati for the last 6 months. But I'm going to back up to 1995, when we left the Worldwide Church of God over doctrine. At that time, I was the pastor in Garden Grove, California, Southern California. Garden Grove is maybe an hour south of Pasadena, very close. And I was acting as the regional pastor in the Southwest states at that time. So I was right in the middle of that controversy over 15 years ago. In fact, I was one of the ministers asked to make frequent trips up to Pasadena to meet with the administration at that time and try to negotiate things and work toward a peaceful separation, right? Fully involved in every detail of it, every step of the way. And when that didn't work out, finally, the decision we made to we go to Indianapolis, just put out a general announcement, see how many elders and wives and others would show up, and as you all know, we started over and began United. And so I was a part of the forming of United and our governing documents from the very, very beginning. Served on the Council of Elders the first 5 years, served as regional pastor, part of the ministerial services team for years, until recently coming into being brought into Cincinnati by the Council of Elders and asking to serve as president. So my point in bringing that up is, over 15 years ago, we did leave because of doctrine. That was the issue. Very clearly, we all know that. After 32 years of serving full-time in the ministry with the Worldwide Church of God, there was no choice. If I was going to keep God's Sabbath and God's holy days and His commandments and all the beliefs, we had no choice if we were going to continue. That was very clear. And I just wanted to assure you, I doubt if any of you have any doubts, but there may be some who do. What we are going through now in the United Church of God is not over doctrine. It is not over the Sabbath or holy days or fundamental beliefs or any of those things. Some may believe that, some may say that, some may, we'll wait and see. I didn't leave, we didn't leave, any of us didn't leave the Worldwide Church of God to obey God and 15 years later to begin to compromise and disobey God. That is not the issue, brethren. We can get into any questions that you would like to ask about that. But I'll just say this right now, right up front. Time will clearly show that. For anyone who isn't sure, I can tell you, and you can always go back, this is being recorded, or you can remember Mr. Luker said this. You will see this is not a doctrinal issue. There has never been any discussion, thought, intention at all in any way of changing any of these doctrines. That is not the issue. We can talk about the paper and the situation in Chile in the Q&A if there are questions on that, why that was written, et cetera, and how that's being used today. But you will see that is not what it is about. The council cannot change doctrine anyway, neither can I. I think you all have heard many times that the safeguards we put in United so that it never happened again, what we went through, was that three-quarters of all of the elders in the United Church of God worldwide, three-quarters would have to approve any doctrinal change. That is not the issue. And I know what some say the issues are. I'm very aware of that, that some say or may believe that the issues are a council of elders, a group of men who are unethical or unrighteous, or some might even take it further and say sinful. I've read those charges. Let me, you've been in the church a long time. I can look around and see people here. Some of you have grown up in the church your whole lives. Others, you've been in the church for decades. Certainly, the men on the council, just like me as president, I'm not on the council. I'm the president who coordinates the work of the church at the home office in Cincinnati on a day-to-day basis. And it's been really interesting the last 6 months that I've been there, as you can imagine what we've been going through. But many of you would know the men on the council. If it were to go down, Vic Kubik is one of them, for instance. Roy Holiday, I could just be Melvin Rhodes. They're names that are well known, and men who've been serving in God's church and ministry for decades, and their reputation is good. I know these men. They're human beings, yes. Make mistakes? Sure. Sometimes slip unintentionally and sin, as God says in the Bible, we all do. Sure, we fall short in that way. But I can just tell you right up front, they are not men who are evil or bad or malicious or unjust or unrighteous. They are not. Make mistakes? Hey, I'll be the first to raise my hand. I can definitely do better, and I'll be more open in the Q&A. But I just want to assure you of this, and you will find out that it is true. As time moves along in the church and the whole truth about everything, God is the one who makes that plain and clear over the years. We've seen that in the church, no matter what the issues were at first that were maybe cloudy or unsure. Even like 15 years ago, there were people who didn't know what it was all about for quite a long time and stayed with the Worldwide Church of God a long time before they realized, whoa, this is what it's really all about. And so you will find out that it's not truly about unrighteous, immoral, unethical men on the council or in the administration. It's about good men who are human beings who, like all human beings and like all ministers, can and do make mistakes and can do better and will do better. But that is not the issue either, despite what some are saying or thinking and how well maybe they've documented things. But there's always another side to every story and to every situation. So what is it really about? It really truly is about church governance and organization. It really truly is about control. It really is truly about maybe a different vision or perspective on the work that some believe the church should do. It really is about a different philosophy and approach maybe in the ministry. It really is sometimes a different approach about pastoring and the role of the ministry. It really is about a different attitude sometimes in dealing with the church and the work. What it is, it really is about a different approach in church governance. And time will tell that. Time will show that. And that will take time. And I'm not trying in any way to be judgmental. Only God knows people's hearts. I don't. Only God knows that. But there are two fundamental, basic reasons that churches split. All churches, not just Church of God splits. We've been through many before. Any church, two fundamental basic reasons are always over doctrinal issues church governance issues, how they are organized, how they're going to work together, how they're going to move forward and accomplish the work of God, who will be in charge, how decisions will be made, how they will function and operate together. If I were going to leave a church organization because the human leaders made mistakes or slipped in sin, I would have left a long time ago in the church of God. I've never left God's church because of the faults or sins or mistakes of the human leaders. The only time I have ever left an organization, and I've been in the church for me now, it's 51 years. It was one time, and when they told me, if you don't accept the new truth, the new covenant, quote unquote, which means that the Sabbath and holy days are done away, then you have no hope, no future in this organization. That's the only reason I left, was to obey God and serve God and continue in the faith that he had called me to. But the problems that existed in the church back then, I learned, and I'm sure that's one of the big lessons God wants us all to learn. The false mistakes, sins of human beings taught me, as I'm sure it's taught you, you put your faith only in God. That's the big lesson. And then you learn to look beyond human leaders. We saw in the sermonette and the examples there, wonderful message. God calls men who are human beings who slip and fall in sin. Even David, even though he was a great man. We know the story of David's life, don't we? That God is teaching us to put our faith, our trust in him. And then learn to wait upon him. If there are human leaders who are falling short, God will deal with them. I think we know that from the history of our years in the Church of God. I just want you to know, and maybe you already know from hearing me before, where I stand. I want people to know exactly where Denny Luker stands as president, where he's coming from. I will confess and admit my errors, my faults, and my mistakes. I could have done much better in many areas along the way here in this crisis, but none of it has been out of a malicious or an evil heart from anyone on the council or from me. And only time, I guess, will be what will reveal and show that. We'll just have to be patient, don't we? But what I would like to focus on, and we can get into more of this other, as I say, I'm not one who will avoid the issues and not give you the very best answers that I can, that I'm able to help you to understand what is going on. So we can get into that more later. But the message that I would like to give you now is that united will survive, and we will thrive. Not only survive, we're going to thrive. I wanted to give you just a few statistics before we get going. Now, numbers are not important to God. We know that. We don't number the armies of Israel. We're not going to worry about those kind of facts. We know about Gideon's army. We know how God cursed David for wanting to know how big his armies were. So numbers are not really that important to God, but they can be interesting. And you might be interested in how many elders we have left in the church, how many ministers are with us, a membership that's still unfolding, but it'll probably be similar to this. But here are the very latest statistics I received the day I left, finally putting together after, I think, pretty much most of the resignations are probably over by now, that worldwide, internationally, we had total number of elders, ordained elders, was 492. This is the international statistics. Of those 492, those salaried were 152 salaried with UCG, and the non-salaried elders were 390. After these recent events, I'll just give the percentages that we have at this point. The percentage of salaried elders that have stayed with the United Church of God internationally, all over the world, is 52%. The percentage of non-salaried elders remaining is 67%. So the percentage of total elders remaining with the United Church of God around the world is 69%. This is just rounding it off, 69%. Let's look at the U.S. statistics. Total number of elders in the United States is 381. Salaried elders, 122. This includes not only pastors, but those working like at the home office who are salaried elders as well. And some in the field who are salaried, who work on media, like Don Hooser, one of our main writers and editors and helpers and many of our programs at the home office. We have a number of men who work in the field, but they're salaried, but support us at the home office. So salaried elders in the United States were 122, non-salaried elders, 259. And here are the statistics as of now. Percentage of salaried elders remaining with United is 50.8%, so say 51%, a little over half of the salaried elders. Our percentage of non-salaried elders remaining with the United Church of God, 75.7%, 76%. I think that's one of the big differences of why United is still going to move forward. We have a tremendous number of solid, faithful men who have their own businesses. They're mature men. They're successful men. They're leaders. It's one of the reasons they're fine elders. They understand life and business and people and corporations. And when someone's paying your salary and there are problems, you have to deal with that eventually. We'll talk more about that later. So in the U.S., the percentage of elders remaining, when you add up the salaried elders, percentage 51, and the non-salaried 75%, it comes out the percentage of total elders remaining with United is about 68%. And membership is still unfolding, but it looks like it'll be very similar to that of the members that are decided to remain with the United Church of God. So again, all of that's in the hands of God. We know that only God calls people, only He knows their hearts, only God sees what's going on deep down inside people, only He knows where they are, why they are where they are. So we all know that this is all in the hands of God. What we know is for sure that we are part of God's true church. God's true church is composed of anyone out there in whatever group they are a part of who are converted, who have God's Spirit, who've been called by God, who've made a commitment to God through baptism, who received God's Holy Spirit, and are motivated by God's Spirit in them, who love God and seek His kingdom. So that's who God's people are. And only God knows who's truly converted. I used to think I knew when I was in the Worldwide Church of God. Didn't you, thinking back? When we were all together under Mr. Armstrong and the Worldwide Church of God, I thought I knew that minister. Man, he's been in the church for decades preaching the truth. He's got to be converted. Boom. Along comes his trial. Pressure, stress, test comes along. You don't always know for sure. That's why God allows tough tests to find out what's in our hearts. So we are in the United Church of God, and from our very beginning, we had a statement that we are not the only people of God. That's very obvious. With the breakup of Worldwide, God made that plain and clear. And God has people all over this earth in different countries, all over the world. He can call anyone that He wants to. But what you and I know is we in the United Church of God are part of God's true church. By His mercy and grace, not because we're better than anyone, but He has opened our minds to the wonderful knowledge of His great plan, His true plan for mankind. It's an incredible thing to know what we know. So let's talk today about the future of the United Church of God. We will not only survive this, brethren. I want to give you seven reasons why the United Church of God will thrive, why we're going to move on from this trial and learn and grow and fulfill our calling and our purpose and do the work of God. Here are the seven reasons. Maybe you, I only gave this a couple of times, a couple of weeks ago, and first in Cincinnati. You might have seen it, and you might not have. But it always comes out a little bit different anyway every time I give it. The first reason is this. Why the United Church of God will not only survive but thrive. Number one, because we love God with our whole heart, and God's love never fails. There's only one thing that I know in the universe and in my life that will not fail, and that is God's love, agape love, the love of God. Human love will fail. Sexual love will fail. Look at marriages. Fail. Friendships, that kind of love fails. Love between parents and children, that sometimes can fail. The only love the Bible reveals, there's only one kind of love. And if you don't have it, then chances are you'll fail. But if you have the love of God dwelling in you, the Bible says it will never fail. God's love never fails. It's the only thing that never fails. Let's take a look at that. That's why God says, Christ said, the first and great commandment is to love God with our whole heart, mind, and being. Let's notice Matthew 22. So let's look at this very important reason why United will survive, brethren, is because we do love God with our whole heart. And that's what motivates us. I don't want to be motivated by carnality, human nature, ego, power, control, position. Those are all vain and temporary. The only thing that is going to matter at all is to be motivated by the love of God. And if we are not motivated by the love of God, then we're going to fail. And anyone will fail. If their motive for what they're doing, for what they've decided, for what they've said, if there's any other motive except for the love of God, it will come to nothing eventually. That's why I'm saying all you have to do is wait and watch and see. And those who are on their knees crying out to God, saying, Father, without your love, the first fruit of your Holy Spirit, and we all remember 1 Corinthians 13, I will come to nothing. And that is so important. Save a little time. I think you know Matthew 22 very well, verses 36 through 38, where Christ was asked, what is the first and great commandment? And he made it very clear. First and great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your might, soul, and strength. And he said that very, very clearly. So we all know that one well. Turn with me, though, to 1 Corinthians 13. Let's go to that scripture and see why I strongly believe and know that United will move on and we will grow and become stronger and we will learn. 1 Corinthians 13, we'll read verses 2 through 8. Where Paul wrote, though I have the gift of prophecy, though I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I might have all faith, imagine that, so that I could even move mountains. And then he says here, but if all of those gifts that he just mentioned, if they are not motivated by the love of God, he says, I am nothing as a person. I can stand up and give great sermons, and boy, I've got great faith. I've got this tremendous knowledge, and I've got faith. But I think we've seen over the years, brethren, in God's church and in the ministry, a lot of it was motivated by human ego. Or they'd still be around, because God's love never fails. And that's what Paul is saying right here. We are all a bunch of human beings, even in the ministry. And if the motivation, if what is working in our heart and mind is not from God through the power of his love, which is a gift from him, we are nothing. We'll come to nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, but if I do not have love, it profits me nothing. In other words, we can do this, and we can give here, and we can serve there. And we've seen this over the years in God's church, haven't we? People who served for the wrong reasons. Now, you're God's people, and Ray and others have said, boy, these people have just pitched in together here and worked together and just made it happen. You're a team. But looking back, our years over the church, I think all of us would look back and see there were a lot of people. Where are they? What happened to them? What the Bible tells us is, and only God knows who's converted. I don't. But what we do know is something was lacking. And my personal opinion is from the Word of God that if we're not down on our knees every day saying, Father, more than anything else, what I need today is your love to make sure that every word I speak, everything I say, everything I do is motivated by love, your love, and not my human vanity and my ego and my human carnal nature. Because otherwise it comes to nothing, and that's what's happened so often in God's church. It will come to nothing. And so my main point here, brethren, is that we as a people of God in the United Church of God, we love God with our whole heart. It's my life. I'm sure, I know it's yours too. And he goes on and he talks about this kind of love is patient, it suffers long, it's kind, does not envy, does not boast or parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. I like the NIV translation on that one. It translates that from the Greek, keeps no record of wrongs. Doesn't keep this long record of your wrongs and faults and sins. That's the way the NIV translation translates, thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. Hears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And then first part of verse 8, love, God's love, agape love, never fails. And that's the first reason, brethren, that you will see that this is one of the reasons United will not fail, that we will thrive, because we will emphasize this, the importance of the love of God motivating us and moving us and growing in that and understanding that and seeking that, yearning and aching to be motivated by the love of God and the Spirit of God more and more. It's very, very important, as we all know. God's love never fails, and it doesn't. And it will not. It cannot. Second reason that the United Church of God will not only survive this, but thrive and move on, is because we look to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to lead and guide us. We don't look to any man. I know you've heard messages like this recently. You know, don't look to this man. Don't trust that. We all need human leaders. A family needs human leadership. Every organization, we're not saying human leaders are not important. They are. But again, a huge lesson for the Church of God, for all of us, is to look to the one and only leader who is alive today, who lives, who is real, who exists, who is the head of all of his church, not just United. Revelation 2 and 3, where he talks about the seven churches there in Christ, that I walk in the midst of the candlesticks, all of these seven churches. And every one of them he calls, this is my church, these are my people. And he describes the different attitudes and the different problems of each church. And I don't know if you've tried to imagine this, but I've tried to imagine myself living at that time in Asia Minor where those seven cities were, and those seven churches of God. And each Sabbath, on seven Sabbaths, going to each congregation. Can you imagine? It would be like whiplash. Wow! Wow! I mean, when you look at the attitudes and the problems described of each church, you might have said, I wonder if this is God's church. Maybe you would have met a few who were, and maybe some you wondered, what's going on here? False doctrine, teaching, sins, problems, faults. There's a lot to learn there, isn't there? God allows a lot of things to go on. And that's not only history that really happened. We all know that's a book on prophecy about God's church down through the ages and right down to the end time. But Jesus Christ is always the head of the church. He knows everything that is going to go on. He knew this was coming in United. I I believe. He's always way ahead of us because he knows human beings. He knows what's going on down in here. I'm not saying God caused it. I'm not saying God likes or wants division. I don't mean that. But God foresees and understands human beings and sometimes hardened positions where, you know, husbands and wives, you understand this. You husbands and wives ever have any disagreements? Sure you do. But and sometimes people don't get them resolved, do they? They have serious conflict in that marriage and relationship. But we look to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to lead us and guide us. And we believe very deeply that God has a purpose for United. I believe that with all my heart. Some have said, and I had one minister I was talking to. I know every pastor that has resigned, and they've always sent their resignation to me, sometimes copied the council or others, but every single one of them, and I couldn't reply to every single one of them, but somebody usually did is on the team, and at least tried to, but a few of them I did, and that surprised me and all, and why are you doing this? And his comment was, I just feel that United's form of government just doesn't really work very well. And I said, do you think there's another form of government that maybe will work a lot better? I won't go into it. It would be wrong for me to go into too much detail on that. But, you know, the discussion revolved around it isn't the form of governance that is the issue in any church organization. It's the attitudes, the character of those in the form of church government. Doesn't matter how you reorganize, what structure you decide on, what you do, unless you've got a lot of very humble, yielded, submissive ministers, elders, and people working together, it's not going to change anything. Human nature isn't going to go away, in other words. And I've worked under Mr. Armstrong when everybody knew who was in charge under Mr. Armstrong. No questions, no doubt about it. One man in control and had that authority because of the way God had used him and raised up the church and taught the truth through him. We all knew that. But there were a lot of problems at that time as well because of human nature and human beings and all. And so just keep that in mind. If they say, well, I can't stay in the United Church of God any longer because this form of government doesn't work. You know what? It's working pretty good, actually. And we'll talk about that in the Q&A as we move along. But we all would say, and I think every group, every part of God's church would say, we look to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to lead and guide us. And that's what we're going to be doing, brethren. And Christ promised, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, he promised his church and his people and his disciples, I will be with you always to the end of the age. I'd like to go to the book of Philippians under that one, chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Paul was a man who learned and he grew. And here he is, as you know, sitting in prison, writing to the brethren, trying to encourage them. So in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, said, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I mean, that's a big lesson, isn't it? I've learned, Paul said, wherever I am, whatever happens, whatever state I'm in, to be content, to trust God. Notice he went on to say, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full, to be hungry, to abound, and to suffer need. And then this wonderful verse, 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No matter what the circumstances, situation, he strengthens me. And then verse 19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. I remember Mr. Armstrong would read that verse and claim that promise a lot. But that was one of his favorite verses as the church went through many, many trials in his lifetime. He learned that God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I believe, brethren, despite, you know, I know there's anger and hurt out there, disillusionment, and the things that some have said, hey, United Now is just going to collapse with all of the ministers leaving. No way. Not a chance. I just want to tell you, it's not a chance. We're not going away. I'm not the kind of a person, and neither are the other men, and neither are the other elders, and neither are you, brethren. We want to learn what God wants us to learn. We want to be a part of his church and his work, and we will finish the job he's given us to do. We are not quitters. We're not going to go away. We'll repent. We'll say, God, there are obviously many lessons to be learned on our part. I certainly want to learn. I want to keep learning and growing. I want to be like Paul. I want to learn. And sometimes the best way to learn is for God to put you right in the middle of a big trial. And we've all learned the harder that trial, the tougher it is, the more it tests you and forces you to say, God, I don't have the answers here. I don't know how to work this out. And it forces you begin to pray and fast more and say, God, only you can deliver us and save us and help us. And we know Christ is the head of his church, and we are a part of his church. And we will look to Jesus Christ more and more and trust in him and honor him and exalt him. You know, God the Father said, he is my son, and I've appointed him to be the head of the church. He has the preeminence, and every knee will bow to him, and every tongue will confess to him, you know, honor my son. Now, Christ, you know, obviously pointed us back to the Father. But God says, he is the head of the church. He is King of kings. He's coming back to this earth. And so Jesus Christ is our leader, our head, and our Lord, and we know that. And so United will continue and will succeed because we know that and believe that. And we'll be looking to him more and more. Father, God in heaven, Jesus Christ, what role do you want United to play in your church on this earth? What job do you have for us? Because we're going to be here, and we're going to move on, and we're going to keep learning, and we're going to keep growing. Now, the third reason I've got here that we will flourish and move on, because, brethren, we are totally committed to doing the work of God as long as he gives us life. You know, a lot of you have been at it for decades. I see a lot of long-time senior members and thank God, some dedicated younger ones as well, which we need very much in God's church and in God's work. Thank God for you, for all of you. But doing the work of God. Now, we were trained and taught under Mr. Armstrong. I remember that as a young man when God called me. I was 23 when God called me, 23 years old, graduated and was working as an engineer, had a degree in mechanical engineering when God called me. And opened my mind. I came into contact with a church member, another engineer, working in Los Angeles, North American Aviation back then Rockwell, then Boeing, I think. And he was a church, another engineer. And through him, I began to learn things I never knew before. And eventually took leave from my job and decided to go to Ambassador College up in Pasadena. And that's how it got started for me. And that's where I met my wonderful wife, Leanne. Sorry she couldn't be with me on this trip. She's not able to make every trip. That's under the circumstances with the income, it's not doing too bad. It's about 12% below normal. It will probably drop more than that before things settle out. But we're looking at every possible way to save money as well and cut costs that we possibly can. But just know, brethren, that our life, and I know Ray's worked at Pasadena for many years, you know, our whole heart, Mr. Armstrong said, you know, you aren't called just to be in the church and save your own life and be in God's kingdom. That's important. But we're called to do a work. And by that, of course, he always meant we're called to take the truth that God has given us and preach it and publish it and proclaim it to this world. That's our work of doing the work of God, and so that God can call others as well. And we will never give up on that. We will never stop doing the work of God in the United Church of God. That's very important to us in the United Church of God. We want to do the work of God. We want to do what God wants us to do. We will do what God wants us to do. I didn't know when I came in 6 months ago, you know, how bad it was going to be. I knew there were problems because I've been involved from the whole beginning of United and have been a part of. I knew things were coming along, but nobody can foresee exactly what's going to happen and be sure of it. Only God can foresee the future. But I will say that I don't get on the internet a lot. People forward things to me. I don't have time, but pretty much things are, well, you know, some of my friends, Denny, you know what they're saying about you out there? No, what are they saying? And then they'll pass it on to me. Well, that's not true. Yeah. Well, that part is true. Yeah, I did make a mistake there. But that part's not true. I just want you to know, brethren, and maybe it doesn't make a bit of difference one way or the other, that that is not my focus. I know what people may say about us individually, personally, or in the church as the weeks, months, and years go along. All of that will mean nothing, what anyone says or thinks about all of this. If it's not true, it will mean nothing. We all learned that in the church a long time ago. But all that's going to matter in the long run is what God says and thinks. And He knows everything about all of us. And so we're going to move forward, and we're going to do the work of God. I'm excited, personally. I really, truly am. I think God is going to open more doors. I just believe that, because we love Him. We want to serve Him. We want to do His work. We want to help other people. We want to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God and share the wonderful truth of what's coming in this world. That beyond the bad times coming, there is that wonderful world that is coming. And also, brethren, we also have a desire to serve you better, to serve the brethren better. You know, Christ emphasized that to Peter, didn't he? I'm not going to some of those scriptures, John 21, but you know, where he said, Peter, if you really love me, you take care of my sheep, my people. You love them. You humble yourself. So you're going to see in United that we are going to once again bring up the subject of a Christ-centered servant leadership, where we want to emphasize to all of our ministers that we as ministers, we are brethren with God's people. We're not better than anybody, brethren. I don't feel better than any of you. I'm not better than any of you. And I am to be a servant. That's what, Christ emphasized that. We're to have a servant's attitude. And I have stated that if the council of elders, they felt I weren't doing a good job and wanted to send me back out to the field, give me a little church. Leanne and I love pastoring. Being a pastor and serving God's people and being a part of them is the most important job in the church of God. My job as president, think it's the most important job I've ever had. Maybe I'm here now for a reason, because of my experience, and what's going on doesn't throw me at all. Ray knows if you've survived Pasadena, back then you learn a lot of lessons. Boy, God, this has to be your church, or it would have fallen apart a long time ago. And that's the reason it doesn't completely fall apart. It is God's church. And He teaches us all a lot of lessons over the years. And so I don't have the big head about my job, and I had already decided to retire before this. I'm 73 years old. I decided to retire, and then the need was great, and I'm still in good health. I have real good health, no health problems at all. Don't take any medication, nothing. So the need was there, and so Leanne and I talked it over. Well, honey, maybe we shouldn't retire yet. let's just keep going. And then this happened. So just so you know how we're feeling about it, that the Council of Elders said, Denny, you know, you kind of fouled this up the 6 months you've been here. Look, under your presidency, the church split. You know? We're going to try somebody else. I'd say, okay, can you please send us back home at least? Seattle's our home. We have 2 children, 5 grandchildren, and 2 great-grandchildren there. We left them all behind. I haven't been back yet. My daughter will call. She's in the church, and Leah and her husband, L.G. Gibson, and the church back there, and she'll call, Dad, when are you coming back to a visit? You said you've been gone 6 months now and haven't been. I said, I can't come back, honey, until this settles down. Every day I'm in that office, and we're having meetings on what do we do today, and where do we go, what decision now? I said, I just can't come back there right now. So she's coming out. She's coming out to chew me out. She's a neat gal, wonderful daughter, our daughter Leah, and our granddaughter Kennedy is coming with her, and they're coming out to make sure I'm eating right and taking care of myself and things along that line. But if the council, my point is, if the council said, Denny, thank you for your help, you know, we'd like to send you back out to the field, I'd say, absolutely, yes, sir, thank you. I've really enjoyed the opportunity here, did my best, but we love God's people, we love the pastor. There isn't any job here that's more important than serving God's people in the field. And I mean that sincerely. That's what we are, a church and God's people. You are what's important. That's where you're going to be the bride of Christ. So whatever God wants us to do, we're ready and willing to do it. Stay here, work hard, move forward, pick up the pieces and become stronger and better. We're going to do that. We're going to do a work. You wait and see. We will. It's our heart. It's our life. And reason number 4, why the United Church of God will pick up and move on and continue to thrive. Because we will continue to grow spiritually and learn to love one another as Christ commanded. That's an important command in the Bible, as we're going to see. Christ emphasized that over and over and over. And we haven't done a real good job on that one in the churches of God, have we? If people were to look at the churches of God, the people who keep the Sabbath, the holy days, God's law, commandments, and all the truth that we know, kingdom of God, everything we know and believe, the churches of God, God's people, if people were to look at the churches of God and do we really love one another? What do we say about one another? When they get on blogs and read things going on, a lot of people say, boy, I don't want to be a part of that church organization. Look what they're calling one another. Look how they fight. Look at what they say about one another. We have a lot to learn. A lot to learn. It's like a family that can't get along and all. We are a family, a spiritual family, the Church of God. And I believe United will thrive because we know, brethren, we fall short. We do fall short on this. I've had some, I'm going to leave the United Church of God because you didn't have enough love. I've already had somebody say that. You didn't show enough love toward them or whatever. Well, we know we need to grow in love. Let's look at what Christ said about this. And we will. This is important to us in the United Church of God. We want to learn to grow spiritually and learn what Christ meant when he said this. Let's read it in John chapter 13. John chapter 13. John 13, verses 34 and 35. He emphasized this to his disciples, didn't he? This is how you will know that you are my disciples, because you keep the Sabbath and the holy days, and you don't eat pork, and you tithe. Is that what he said? No, he didn't say that. Lots of people have done that. Now, it can be important to do that. But notice what he emphasized, how people would really know. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. And the new part is what he added, because in the Old Testament it said, love your neighbor. But the new part, he says, love one another as I have loved you. That's the new part. He set the example and showed the way and gave his life. that you also love one another as I have loved you. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. We have a lot to learn and a lot of growing to do, don't we, in the churches of God. Before people could look at the church of God and says, boy, you sure know who are the disciples of Christ by the way they love one another. Now, some of you are wonderful, outstanding examples of this. I know that. We have individuals who really do demonstrate great love for the brethren, no matter who they are. They just have the love of God in their hearts and are motivated by the love of God. Not anger, not bitterness, not resentment, not hatred, anything. They pray for the love of God and forgiveness. God, forgive me as I forgive others. And we know in the United Church of God, we've got a lot to learn and to grow in this area, and we want to. 1 John 3, notice how powerful the Apostle John learned this lesson and the way he said it. He said it powerfully. 1 John chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. I'm talking about why I believe the United Church of God will survive and thrive, because we know this is important. We know we need to learn and grow in this area. We know that, and we want to, and we will. Notice how John put it, beginning in verse 14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren, from eternal death to eternal life, because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. That's going to be the end result. And you look out there today on the Church of God and you see angry people. You can tell that by their words and their actions and their deeds. They're motivated by anger, not by mercy and forgiveness. Now, I've had to make some tough decisions in dealing with some of the ministers, but I have absolutely no resentment, anger, or hard feelings. I really don't. I don't have any hard feelings toward any of them that I've had to tell them, I'm sorry, you know, we have to let you go. You know, here's the reason why. I can say that before God and before you. I have no anger or resentment toward any single, I don't care how they feel about me, what they've said about me. I refuse to have any anger or resentment. Maybe I get upset a little bit sometimes over things. There is a righteous anger. Be you angry and sin not, the Bible says. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Give no place to the devil. Don't let him. It is through uncontrolled, unrepented anger that we sin. And there's a lot of that out there today. It's not the love of God. I think we see that today. And verse 16, because by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Give our lives for each other. Whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, not just in words, but in deed and in truth. And then in verse 19, he says, and by this, now by the way we love the brethren, he's talking about, we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. So, you know, we in the ministry in the United Church of God recognize the importance of this teaching of Jesus Christ and John here in these verses, that we must emphasize and pray for and fast for not only the United Church of God, but the churches of God, that we as God's people can learn to love one another the way God wants us to. We can learn, can't we? That's what Paul said. I have learned. I'm willing to learn, Paul said. And we will learn, brethren. We know this is important. We want to grow spiritually. We want to move forward and not harbor anger toward any of our brethren for whatever reasons. We want to love them. We may disagree with them, and I sure do disagree with some of them. But I can disagree with them and stand firm in where I am and why I am where I am. And say, and I've said to a number of them as we parted, I said, we will meet again. I said, what I said to many of them is, God be with you till we meet again. because we will meet again. If we stay in God's church, we're going to meet again down the road, because we're all headed toward his kingdom. There's only going to be one bride, one church that Christ marries. And so we better be careful what we say and think toward one another, because we will meet again, and we will be together. You're taking your road and your journey, your spiritual journey to the kingdom of God, and I'm taking mine. And we're all going to have to give account to Jesus Christ, each of us, for the decisions we make. I'm not going to have to give account to anyone else except Jesus Christ. And that's the same for each of us. When finally it comes down to it, we'll all be waiting to stand before Jesus Christ to give account for our lives and all the end result. And so that's the vision that I keep in mind, that what we're going through is another unpleasant trial and test in the church of God so that we can learn. There are lots of lessons that we all still need to learn. But keep the goal, eternity in mind, the kingdom of God in mind. Don't miss out on the kingdom of God. Don't miss out on what really is important, what's coming. 5, we'll move right along. Why I believe the United Church of God will not only survive but thrive because of the fervent prayers and faithful support of thousands of brethren around the world. And I mean thousands. I've gotten a lot of hate mail since I've been president. But thank God, I've also gotten a lot of encouraging emails, cards, and letters, and you might probably all remember the great big card that hundreds of members signed and gave to us, and just reminding us, look, you may be hearing a lot mostly negative stuff from those who are loud and negative. And they get on there, and it's usually some of the same ones that are loud and negative. And sometimes those of us who are praying for you and support you, we've been kind of the silent majority. But we want you to know. And there's some incredible cards and letters that have come in. And it's like, don't you guys dare get discouraged and give up and quit. We're here. We're for you. We're praying for you. We support you. We love you. Hang in there. Let's see this through together. You know, that kind of thing from brethren, boy, it really gets you going. It really, truly does. And I'm going to show you what Paul said about the Philippians, because they were that way with him and supporting him. And this is the way it is. So we're very optimistic, brethren, because literally, there are thousands of you around the world supporting and praying for the council and the administration and the ministry and the brethren who are sticking with the United Church of God and want us to move forward. And here's what Paul said to the Philippians in chapter 1. Notice verses 3 through 5. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Just imagine that. This minister, this apostle, because of the support that these Philippians, they weren't like the Corinthians who were so critical and negative, and he was having to defend his ministry and his calling, and more corrective in those epistles. This group of people just said, Paul, we know you're not perfect. We know your past and your history, what you had to repent of, and God called you out of that. But we know you're one of God's ministers, and we love you and we support you. They were always there for him, this particular congregation and group of people. And so Paul wrote to them, and he said, I thank God upon every time I think of you, I thank God for you. Always in every prayer of mine, making request for you with all joy. And that's the way a lot of you brethren are. The way we know that there are brethren just like this out there. And in verse 5, he's saying, I think of you, every time I think of you, it's with joy, and I thank God for you. And in verse 5, it's for your fellowship in the gospel. And that the NIV translation translates for your partnership in the gospel. In other words, they made themselves partners. We're with you, Paul. You hang in there. We'll finish the work God's given us to do. And so they were partners in the gospel. And he says, from the very first day, when I came to Philippi and preached the truth and God called you, from that very day until now, you've hung in there with me. That's what he was writing to the brethren there. From the first day until now. And so that's the way it is today in United, brethren. There are some out there who said, Mr. Luker, counsel, we're not going anywhere. We don't believe all that stuff. Sure, some of it may be true. You guys are human beings. You've made mistakes. You've got faults. But we don't believe everything they're saying. And that gives us encouragement because we need it from time to time. And verse 19, and he's adding in verse 19, I know that this, you know, this trial he's in prison, will turn out for my salvation, his freedom and deliverance. And notice why. He said, through your prayer, brethren, because of your prayer for us and for me, this will turn out good for my deliverance and because of the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You know, and brethren have said, you know, to the council members and administration and all, we're asking God just to strengthen you. Don't let Satan destroy you. He's the real enemy out there, not your brothers. And we know that. The real adversary who wants to destroy all of God's church and God's people is, we only have one enemy, one adversary. It's Satan the devil. Sometimes we're at odds with our brethren over various issues. And so the point I'm trying to make here is that we're very positive and optimistic about the future of United because of you, brethren. And the encouragement and the support and the prayers and the love and the help. We're going to move forward, and we will fervently move forward together. Notice what Paul said about this. Just one more scripture in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 on this one. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Your prayers and support are important. And this is where Paul said, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, verses 1 and 2. He says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified just as it is with you. He would write that often to them, brethren, please pray for us. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have the faith. The Greek means the faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. So thank you, brethren. Just wanted to point out that letters, cards, and emails that have come in, personal words, people just saying, you know, look, we know this is a very hard time for United and for the brethren, for everybody. Hang in there. We'll hang in there with you. We'll see this through. And hopefully we all are going to learn and become much more converted. And so that's what we want to do. And we, United is going to move on. We're going to move on strongly. We're going to be energized. Just a couple more reasons why I'm positive about United surviving and thriving. And here's another one, point six. Because of our faithful pastors and hundreds of faithful elders who are steadfast in serving the brethren. I mean, just like here in this area, it's, you know, the elders have stepped up to the plate, and you still have a congregation, you still have ministers serving you, spiritual leaders and their wives, and those of you elders, deacons, and brethren who've all just pitched in. Congregation, look at all the food, PA system, music, and you've all jumped in there and done it. It's exciting. It's exciting to see that. Ray and the other elders, I shouldn't just say, I talk of Ray because we worked together at Pasadena there for years. We were there at the same time for quite a few years. But to all of the men here, you know, and what we've seen and what we've been through, we know that usually what happens when something like this happens, it opens up new opportunities for other brethren, maybe who weren't used or weren't needed as much before, because maybe it was a larger congregation, you had more deacons or elders or deaconesses or whatever. And then unfortunate things happen, like what we're going through now, but you find other people who step up to the plate and say, if I can help in any way, let me know. And you try to find out what people's skills every child, every woman, every man, every one of us play a role, and you all are very important. And so we're excited and positive. We're sad that some of my friends, and they're still my friends, I did not part with one single man who resigned and said, "You're not my friend any longer. You're now my enemy." Nope. I didn't say that to one single one of them. Even when we had some strong disagreements, it was, well, God be with you till we meet again. And hopefully we'll all learn we will meet again. If we remain faithful to God, and we stay in His church, and if we have His Spirit, we're going to meet again. And hopefully we'll all be more humble and have learned a lot of lessons when we meet again down the road. And so we're encouraged because we still have a lot of wonderful pastors and elders and others, servants in the United Church of God. And it's encouraging. 1 Peter chapter 5, maybe one verse on this one, and then we'll begin to wrap it up here. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Where Peter is writing, "The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed." And then he's writing to the elders, "Shepherd the flock of God." Be a good shepherd. You know, be a loving, humble shepherd. Be down with the people. Get down. I mean, be right in there with the people. Don't think of yourself as over them and in a wrong way or superior or better, because you're not. We're not. We're brethren. And so shepherd them. Be a spiritual leader. Love them. Encourage them. Support them. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers. Yeah, overseers means supervisors, ministers, elders, but not superior, not better than. It doesn't mean that. "And not by constraint, but willingly, and not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, and not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." Yeah, that's a minister's job. The minister's job is to be an example. That's a big test sometimes, isn't it? I hope all of my fellow ministers who decided to leave United because of what they consider wrongdoing or whatever on the Council of Elders or by me or my administration will think about that over the years. I still love all of you. You know, they might hear this, they might listen to it. I've told some of them this personally. They know me pretty well. They don't know me as well as they think they do, but because my personality trait that is out there most of the time is, if you all know personality types, and I simplify it with the animals, but my first personality type is the golden retriever. You know, that's a dog that loves people and wants to get along and likes to be liked and, you know, just let's all get along and be good. You know, the golden retriever, you're a good family dog, you know. But guess what my secondary trait is as a characteristic? It's the lion personality. But the lion kind of lies in the background snoozing and snoring and asleep a lot, because the golden retriever prefers to, you know, let's see if we can't get along and work this. That is my nature. Some people say, well, it isn't now. You weren't really willing to reconcile. We'll talk about that in the Q&A. But I'm always willing to reconcile. But my point is that, and I'm sure a lot of you, you're that way. That's why you're here in the church and sticking with the truth, that when it comes down to eternal life and salvation and what you believe, and the Worldwide Church of God found that out, that you just keep pushing me. You just keep pushing me, and you're going to find the lion is going to look you right straight in the eyeballs, and it's going to say, back off. So when it's necessary, and I think you are all that way too, you understand the love of God, that there's a time when you do not compromise. And your inner core, your inner values, your inner beliefs And we can't, and we won't. And so, anyway, I don't mean to ramble on here, but we are going to move forward. And with by the grace of God and the love of God and the help of God, we will learn, and we will pick up and move on, and we will do better. We will do better. I'm convinced we will, because we want to. And the last point in closing that I'm so positive and optimistic about the United Church of God, not only just surviving but thriving, is because of an incredibly dedicated and talented home office staff of workers. I've been there 6 months. Now, these people are the heart and core. You know, it used to be headquarters, Pasadena, right? But it's at the home office, as we call it, is where the work, as we call it, is coordinated. There are many people contributing to it and helping in it, and all of you in many different ways. But there is where, you know, you have the planning meetings and carry out those decisions and make the TV programs and get the publications out there and do the work. It's all coordinated, all the mail that comes in and the income and the calls and the emails and all the media efforts, TV, internet, and the print. Member and ministerial services is coordinated from there. Everything going on in the church and in the field, financial planning, all of that goes on there for looking ahead and planning. ABC will continue, youth camps, feast planning. You know, all of those things take place at the home office. Others in the field helping out in different ways. But that's the home office and where we're doing the work. And I have been so encouraged. Now, we've lost a few in the home office who have resigned. But the majority have stayed. And those involved in doing the TV program, those involved in writing the articles for all of our publications, all of those involved in doing what we call the work of preaching and publishing the gospel are staying with United. And you won't see anything. Any real change at all in that way, because you know, we have regular meetings there at the home offices as well, and there's you can tell there's a sadness and a sorrow on their part that this has happened and that we're going through this. But on the other hand, they are ready to lock arms and get back to work, and let's get going to get moving forward. Because it isn't going to be all of our arguments and all of our denying that this is true and that's not true and whatever, and all the answers that we're going to give. You know, that might help for a while, but only God knows how to get into the heart of people and help them to see what they're supposed to do. The only thing that is going to really matter in the long run is what we do. Will we continue on and serve God with humility, with absolute, complete commitment, total dedication, no matter what happens? Will the fruits of how God decides to use the United Church of God to serve mankind, to serve our nation, to serve this world, to serve the brethren, to do the work, it will be the fruits in the long run that will make it evident, brethren. So I'm very optimistic and positive. I don't plan to retire or give up. Maybe Mr. Armstrong was right after all. You know, he just kept going and kept going. And I'm only 73. I've got good genes from my mom and dad. I could go another 20 years. So I just want to make sure at the end of my life that, like many others before us, we can look back and say, God, I want to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. So, brethren, thank you. I just want to thank every one of you for, you know, whatever decision you made. I know sometimes you've got family members and friends and others who aren't here, and for whatever their reasons may be. But we'll just keep on going. I want to thank all of you with all my heart for your faithfulness to God. That's what's motivating it. Your faithfulness to God, but also for your willingness to stick with United and help us succeed. We are part of God's church, and it isn't the form of governance that is the problem. It's the human beings that are in it. So let's become better human beings, we'll become better ministers, and let's move on and do a better work for God.